Okay, check. Praise the Lord. It's good to have a full house today. Yeah, and it's good to see you all. I'm saying this because last Wednesday it was all empty, but God was with us, with you all. So praise the Lord. So today, I was thinking of many things, but I was thinking of this is just a passing thought that. Let us look at evangelism not only as saving the lost, but also reassuring the saved. It breaks my heart. I meet so many believers who are believers but have no assurance of salvation. And take a moment, dig in. Do not assume that everybody knows the finished work, right? So take a moment, dig in. And I think, you know, I've always had people thank me for reassuring them of their own salvation. So let's turn today to James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. 1 Peter 4, verse 6. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the last passage is Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, and all of his works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the introduction, the song, the worship, for your presence in us and in our midst, and we pray you would speak to us and minister to us, we pray. Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak on humility today. Humility. And firstly, this is what we were talking about yesterday, and what we were thinking about is this. What is salvation? When you look at the subject of salvation, I think salvation is really something beautiful, because many times we look at the subject of salvation in terms of what Jesus did on the cross, that he died for my sins, he was buried, he rose again, his blood was shed, and I believed in him. But we don't look at salvation in terms of the complete package. And when you look at the subject of salvation, the only condition to enter into heaven is to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the saving is done by God. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But it doesn't stop there. And that's the beautiful aspect of salvation. God also keeps the believer in salvation. Right? John 10, 28 to 30. I give unto them eternal life. They are in my hands. No one can pluck them out of my hands. And my hands are in the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. So, the responsibility or onus in salvation is God did this work for me on the cross. But when once I believed in Him, God takes the responsibility of keeping me. I am not taking the responsibility of keeping, making, or preserving my salvation. Who is taking the responsibility? It is the Lord. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of salvation. And then, the glorifying, which is the end effect of the keeping and sanctifying me and making me into the image of Christ, is also God's. Philippians 3:20, 21. For our citizenship is from heaven, and He will take our bodies and He will conform it to His body. Resurrected body. Isn't that beautiful? So the three aspects. So, and it's all by grace. What is it? It's all by grace. Now, the key is this. So, let's assume I have believed in Christ and now I am walking with Christ. And one day, He will perfect me. He will perfect all born-again Christians. Because it's all by grace. And the indwelling Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13 and 14 is the guarantee and the pledge that that is going to happen. Right? Isn't that beautiful? So, that is why salvation is so beautiful. So, what can we do? We just have to sit back and relax. That's it. What? Sit back and relax. But sometimes, sitting back and relaxing is the hardest thing for us to do. Now, what is the greatest hindrance in the Christian walk? The greatest hindrance in the Christian walk is self. What is it? Self. I, me, myself. I was thinking of two examples. I was thinking of the first example in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, a popular passage where the son says, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And not many days he went and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So, what was he basically saying in today's terms? It's my life. What is it? We've heard that song, right? It's my life. So there was self-will. There was self-reliance. Based upon his energy, he went out. There was self-sufficiency. Where did the money come? The money came from daddy. There was self-satisfaction. Right? Till the money was there. Right? He was really happy. And all of it was self-centeredness. It was all about him. The other example we see is Jonah. And this is really beautiful. And in Jonah 1, verse 3, it says this. And this is very interesting. It says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Verse 1, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship, so he paid the fare and went down to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Self-will. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. No, he goes in the opposite direction. Then when the storm happens in the boat and they're trying to figure out, then he says, I am a Hebrew, I believe in the God of the Hebrews. In verse 12, he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. What is that? Self-determination. I will make the plan happen. I'll kill myself. Right? And then we see what happens. He couldn't kill himself. Because, and then in chapter 4 and verse 9, we see Jonah is crying about his plant. And then God is asking him a question. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he says, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. You destroyed my plant, now I want to die. Right? Preoccupation with self or self-absorption. Right? Right? Preoccupation with self. Now what do we see here today? What do we see here? We see that pride is the greatest sin in the Bible. It is not sensual sins or other sins. It is pride. Because pride is basically independence of God. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, what did he tempt them with? Pride. You shall become like God. Which means you don't need God in your life. Right? Independence of God. And this is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man in his riches. But let him that glories, glory in this fact, that you understand me, that I am a loving God, a God of loving kindness, right? So, we can be proud about our intellect, qualifications, wisdom, how much we know about the Bible. We can be proud about our strength, six-pack abs, biceps, triceps, quadriceps, whatever seps. We can be proud about our riches, right? You have the rich fool in the New Testament. He says, my barns have become plenty. I will sit back and relax. God said, at this very moment, you're coming home, right? So we see here, pride is the greatest sin. Pride. And when we live in self, we are actually living in pride. Right? We are living in what? Pride. And we see here, the antithesis of pride is humility. And in humility we see, Paul is making this statement in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 2, and the context is legalism. Paul is saying in verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive? How did you become a Christian? By the hearing of faith. Then he says, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? See, that's a contrary thing. That's a contrary thing. You receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith, and you also continue as a Christian by the what? The hearing of faith. Because verse 5 says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It is what? By the hearing of faith. That is why in James 1 it says, you know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Laying aside all superfluity of wickedness and naughtiness, receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word meekness is the Greek word prautes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. And it is that attitude of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good and do not dispute or resist. Now this is what James 4:6 says. It says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the Greek brings out that God is constantly resisting the proud, but God is constantly giving grace to the humble. Right? Now, it says here, the humble means somebody who is lowly. For a sinner, it is considering that he is a sinful person, and for an unfallen creature, it is understanding that he is a creature before the Creator. And then James 4:7 says, Therefore, submit to God. And that word submit in the Greek is hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. And it means to place in an orderly fashion under something. To place in an orderly fashion under something. See, when you and I realize that this whole work of salvation, right, is God's work for me, and it's all by grace, then I can what? Understand and what? Submit unto God. I'm putting myself in an orderly way under what? The Word of God. And then the Bible says, when I do that, what happens? In Romans 6:16 it says this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? The second word in the English, obey, is the word hupoakouo, which means to hear under. Right? To what? To hear under. Now this is the key, and this is important. When we humble ourselves before God and we are under God's order and we hear under and we obey His word, this is what happens. The grace of God comes flooding in. And the example is Jonah. When he disobeyed God, God resisted him to the point of the storm, to the point of getting him swallowed in the whale. He repents. When he repents and he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. What happened? On the first day, the king and the people started repenting. See, either the grace of God is resisting me or the grace of God is what? Assisting me. It's all about my response, whether I go positive or whether I go negative. If I go negative, the grace of God what? Is there, but it will resist me. But when I go positive, the grace of God will what? Assist me. Isn't that beautiful? And then we see that Jonah is still so absorbed with himself that, like, you know, he wants to sit and die because he doesn't agree that God should save the, be compassionate to the people of Nineveh because they were once enemies of Israel. And God says, okay, the plant, is the plant important? And he says, yeah, the plant is very important. You know, sometimes when we live in self, we can make our plants and our pets and something really which is tiny more greater than the salvation of 120,000 people. Are you understanding? We can make that what? A big issue. When we live in self, we move from the eternal to the temporal. We move from what is valuable in God's eyes to what is valuable to me. I have known people who have loved their dogs and their cats more than other people. Have you understood? Right? You know why? I was thinking, why did they love their dogs and their cats? Because in that relationship, they are master and the dog has to obey. So in closing today, right? 1 Peter 5:5 says, and this is important, it says this. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Like, you all are dressed well, I assume. But what? Be clothed with humility. That word is tapaino frosune, lowliness of mind. When I am submitted to God in the true sense, in the vertical, I will also be submitted to His word in the horizontal. That's what the Bible says in John 14. He who loves me will keep my commandments. Right? 14, 21 and 23. But he who does not love me does not keep my commandments. And it's as clear as that. And in closing today, when God made this covenant with David in 2 Samuel 7, made this covenant, you know, your seed will endure forever, and many beautiful things. In 2 Samuel 7:18, David made this beautiful statement. Who am I, Lord? Isn't that beautiful? What is it? Who am I, Lord? You know, we must be convinced today, and we must be brought to this place when we receive this kind of teaching, when we understand this kind of the love of God, and being in this church and receiving all these blessings and all the prayers which God answers, we must come to this place where we ask God, what? Who am I? That you should do such great things for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Yes, today we come before you and we say to you, who am I, Lord? That you should think of me. Who am I, Lord? That you care for me. That you shower all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, that you shower the riches of your grace upon us, Lord. Thank you, God. Help us to receive, that word is dekomai, to receive favorably, with a favorable reception, your word. And it is able to save our souls. And help us, Lord, not only be hearers of the word, but be doers. Because in James 1:25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and does what he has heard, he will be blessed or truly happy in what he does. Thank you, Lord, that this life is all about receiving from you, hearing, receiving, Lord, mixing faith with it. And you are giving grace for our obedience to happen, Lord. And we thank you that one day we look for you, Lord, where you will perfect us and we will be with you forever, face to face. We look for that day, Lord. Give us an urgency about it, Lord, we pray. Help us to be humble before you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.